meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's been a while since my next guest has been with us. You all remember the lawsuit that's been filed against Nancy Grace, CNN, in regards to the death of Melinda Duckett. Duckett family lawyer J. Paul Deratani is with us this evening for an update. And welcome, J. Paul. Nice to have you back on the show.
Nice to be here, Dana.
There has been some news. I think it's been a while, a couple of months, maybe three longer since you and I talked, and I said I'll have you back on the air again when there is some news. And I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, that a judge has refused to throw out the case, and it's going ahead as planned.
It is. Recently, the judge just ruled that the motion to dismiss that the defendant had filed was not going to be granted. He denied it, and basically allowed us to go forward with the pleadings and the discovery phase of the trial.
To refresh my audience's memory, they're saying Nancy Grace, Duckett. Gosh, that sounds familiar. What is this all about? Can you just give us a brief synopsis as far as what started all this?
Sure. As you may recall, Melinda Duckett came on the air of the Nancy Grace show and was promised, or we believe and we've alleged, that she was told that she was going on the show to showcase the fact that her child was missing. In other words, to get help and to solicit from the public the fact that her child, Trenton, was missing. But when she got on air, Nancy Grace began fist-pounding, accusing her, I would say impliedly accusing her of murder by her conduct and her comments. Then after the air, Melinda went home, killed herself the next day with a shotgun. Then the Nancy Grace show continued to air the footage even after knowing that the mother had killed herself. So, and it was aired in front of the family for, I think, several days in a row. We've basically sued for their false representation to Melinda about going on air.
What brought, I understand why the lawsuit is proceeding, but I'm also curious as far as the motion to dismiss from their lawyers, what were the grounds for that?
They basically said it would chill the First Amendment and that the news media should be allowed to have free ability to question anybody who comes on the air. I pointed out to the court, and we pointed out to the court, I should say, my counsel and I, my co-counsel, that it's not about the First Amendment. It's about a false representation to go on the show. In other words, misrepresenting the facts to somebody. We think you don't lie to get somebody on air. You don't misrepresent the facts to get somebody on air and then pull what we've called to be a bait and switch. And that's the gist of our lawsuit. And the judge isn't saying that we win or lose at this point. He said simply, we have to hear more of the evidence and we have to hear the discovery, which means the depositions of the producers and the different people and Nancy Grace herself, to determine what was said to Melinda and whether there is a cause of action and whether we can then go before a jury.
The term code of conduct has come up, ethics. Every show host has their own style and technique. I have mine. But is it the role of a commentator, a show host, whoever, to interrogate or to ask the tough questions, some will say? And I want to parallel this a little bit to, in a few minutes, to another high-profile case that's going on right now that actually has been compared to the Duckett case. But your argument is, and your thoughts are, on this whole media code of conduct, I should say. What is the role of the media? Did you believe, and your clients believe, that Nancy Grace went too far? She did something that she shouldn't have done.
You know, I would compare this tough questioning argument to Tim Russert. Tim Russert would brutally sometimes, very tough questions.
Yeah.
But what an ethical and honest and wonderful man he was. He never lied to somebody about the, or misrepresented to somebody about the facts or why they were going on the show. So it's not about the questions, Dana. It's not about aggressive interrogation. It's about, in this particular case, taking a woman who they knew to be distraught, who they knew just lost her baby, and then telling them a different story of why she's going on the show, and then making a public accusation against her. And then the second part of our case, of course, is then continuing to air it after that person has killed herself. So it's, tough questions should be asked by good reporters such as yourself and people like Tim Russert. That's wonderful and that's commendable. But when you have an ongoing investigation, when you are only at the very beginning stages of it, certainly you might want to allow the police to do their work first. You might want to take into consideration the fact that a woman is distraught or perhaps mentally unstable. You might want to raise your ethical concerns to the bare minimum to ensure that there's some journalistic integrity. In other words, ask yourself those hard questions first. Is this woman stable enough to go on the show? Is this woman subject to questioning at this time appropriate? In other words, the fact that she just lost her child? And should we be taking the role of a police officer or investigator at this point of the case? And those are the three things where I think the Grace Show truly violated.
Yeah, huge questions for sure. If you're just tuning in, Duckett family attorney J. Paul Derritani is here. There's a huge high-profile case going on right now. You know about it. It's in Orlando. The little three-year-old girl, Kaylee Anthony, is missing. Mom Casey was just bailed out of jail today. We have high-profile bounty hunters, bondsmen, media representatives. Everything's gone nuts. The family, I've interviewed the grandmother several times, has not only on my show and other shows said that the media has convicted their daughter in the press. There's no way that this case can be handled fairly. The scope has been focused only on her and nothing else, and it continues on and on. And then I've even heard some comparisons to the Duckett case. I don't personally believe that. I think there's a lot of difference, but your thoughts on the Anthony case down in Orlando?
Well, there's a very big difference. One is the grandmother in our case does not believe that Melinda had anything to do with the disappearance of her child. And the grandmother in the case that you're talking about, certainly there is a big question because she, based upon what I understand, stood in the press to be the interview at the jail, or rather her conversation with her daughter at the jail, thinks that her daughter has something to do with the child being missing. So that's one very major difference. Secondly, the only similarity that I would say is, and the thing that the press needs to be careful of, is let the police do their work.
Exactly.
Let the trained psychological investigators do their work. We have to be careful. And I say we, I really mean the press, has to be careful not to go into the area of becoming a prosecutor or even a jury. Whether she gets a fair trial or not, it certainly comes into question when there's that much media, but certainly the media then has to balance the issue of covering the situation with this young child, and this young mother, I should say. But the bottom line is we want to find the child. We want to find Trenton as well. So hopefully you want to give the opportunity when there's an ongoing case and a child missing, you want to give the opportunity for the police to do their investigation. And if you convict somebody in the press, or the press convicts somebody, I should say, right away, the mother, maybe she's going to shut up even more if she does know anything, or maybe the public will become tuned out and not look for this child. Look at the thousands of children who have been found because of the positive thing that the press has done in so many cases, which is to highlight a missing child. That was the goal of Melinda at the time when her child was missing. That should be the goal of the press right now. Rather than pass conviction, they should try to find this young girl. That's the most important thing that we can do.
You know, when you talk about the power of the press or trying your client in public, and we've talked about it, I've talked about it for years on my show, a good lawyer, any lawyer should tell their client, you know, be quiet, you know. Yet I've had attorneys bring their clients on air with me and talk quite a bit because they say the more publicity, the better it is for them when it comes to trial. It's kind of backwards thinking, but I guess O.J. Simpson-like. Where do you draw the line as far as the role of a defense attorney when it comes to speaking with the media?
Well, certainly we have our own code of ethics, and we have to be careful not to try to sway a jury if there's a case pending. You know, with the O.J. case, clearly they were trying to do that. They were trying, in my opinion, they were trying to get the press to become enamored with O.J. and side for him. And they went on and I think Johnny Cochran was brilliant in his use of the press at the time.
Yep.
In this situation, you know, it's different. We have an ongoing crime, or possibly an ongoing, we certainly know there's a child missing right now, two children missing. So we have to be careful in the press not to become, and lawyers certainly have to be very careful with their clients. If with the mother, probably I would advise her, don't say anything else because you're liable to become convicted. But on the other hand, we want to make sure that the child is found. So if the mother can go on a show and highlight the fact that her child is missing and millions of viewers can see that, that's a good thing. That's the power of the press to help solve a crime rather than convict a person.
What's next? The judges come out and said they're not going to throw out the case, but obviously there's a long roll to hoe here yet.
Oh, yeah. And certainly CNN Headline News lawyers and Nancy Grace's lawyers are very good and competent. And we will continue to fight, though. I think that the next step will be that we'll be taking depositions and we'll see what the witnesses have to say. I personally like the fact that we are still bringing this out in the media because we still have a missing child, and that's Trenton. And the grandmother and grandfather have not given up on finding this child. We believe the child's still alive. We look forward to opportunities to say, if you see the whereabouts or know the whereabouts of Trenton Duckett, call us or call the police right away. So the case goes on. The grandparents are very adamant about making sure that CNN and Headline News do not do this again. And we look forward to taking a deposition of Nancy Grace and the producers and hearing what they have to say.
And the focus, of course, like you say, is finding Trenton Duckett, and God willing, alive. J. Paul Derritani, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. That's Attorney J. Paul Derritani. And his clients, the Duckett family, are suing Nancy Grace and CNN. And again, you know, when you look at comparisons to stories like the Kaylee Anthony case, and we will have an update on that case a little bit later on in the program. There are some, but then a lot of cases or a lot of aspects of the case, there are none. It's definitely high profile, and definitely in both cases there are two young children that haven't been found. My name is Dana Pretzer. We'll be back here in just a minute.
It's the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. And now back to the show.
Okay, we're back. In a few minutes, we're going to have Pastor Bill Devlin. You watched the civil forum the other night on television where Barack Obama and John McCain faced the same tough questions by Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church. Well, Pastor Bill Devlin was part of that and has lots to say, and we're going to do a political segment with him here in a little bit. Of course, you can hear Pastor Devlin on the 50,000-watt big radio station in Philadelphia, WPHT, 1210 AM, The Big Talker. And then a little bit later on, we're going to have our civilian searchers, the guys that have been out there looking for Kaylee Anthony down in Orlando, and they have an update for you. And I'm hearing that they've been told to stop looking. Some of the press, some of the mainstream media and cable news hosts have been saying that there haven't been any searches going on. And then lo and behold, you see the our civilian searchers who we had on the show the other night come on and talk about the good work they're doing. And now we hear that they've been discouraged to continue searching. We're going to confirm that and see if that's actually true and find out why. That's a little bit later on. Of course, you've all seen the video footage and the craziness that's going on in Orlando. Casey Anthony was released from jail today on bail. She's under house arrest or electronic monitoring or whatever you want to call it. She's at home. The media, of course, swarmed Casey and her lawyer as they were leaving court. Allegedly, her lawyer, Jose Baez, or whatever his name is, pushed a reporter. I'm not sure. Allegedly, I've seen it. The video is very clear. Whether he was defending his client or not, I'm not sure whether that's going to go anywhere. The media, the heartless group that they are sometimes, wouldn't give any clearance or any freedom to the family, and Grandma Cindy had to come out and shout a couple of expletives at them and threatened to turn the water hose on them if they didn't get off their property and move across the street. So this story is far from being over. It's gone from crazy to even crazier, and we're going to have Joe Jordan and Wyatt Locke, the two civilian searchers, to come on the air here in a little while and give us an update from Orlando, Florida. You have to feel sorry somewhat for the family and the swarm of media. Then the family has to know, and they've hired a media consultant. He should be telling them that the media is not going to go away. They're still going to be putting cameras in your face and microphones in your face. And I have to ask the question, where's Larry Garrison? How come he's not there in a media scrum out in front of the house, talking to the reporters on behalf of the family so they can get that peace that some would say they deserve? Anyway, we'll have more on the Kaylee Anthony case a little bit later on in the show, and then our political segment with Pastor Bill Devlin is coming up next. We've got just 2 or 3 minutes. If you want, you can call in quick, 1-303-1306. I guess I should learn my telephone number, 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. You can call in and make a quick comment. Before we take our next break and get into our political segment, and then again later on, we will have an update from Orlando, Florida on the Kaylee Anthony case. And, you know, one message that I do have for the media is, remember, there are many other missing children and missing persons out there. This story is a big one. Yes, it's high profile. Yes, people are wanting to know. Yes, but let's spend some time on some other cases, including the Duckett case. And that's why I brought on attorney J. Paul Derritani tonight to talk about that, because we haven't heard much. And when a high-profile media person like Nancy Grace and her network are being sued because of the way, one of the reasons, because of the way Nancy Grace conducted an interview, allegedly, of the mother of Trenton Duckett, who later took her own life, I think is a pretty big story. And we're not hearing a lot of that, because that case could affect how interviews are done and how shows carry on interviews and investigations of high-profile cases like this. And what really is the role of the media? Is the media there to interrogate, investigate, or is the media there to report just the facts or a little bit of everything? You know, try and get everything out that you can. But you have to remember, and I'm a big proponent of this, and I agree with J. Paul Derritani, is you also have to let the police do their work. That's what they're there for. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, here's your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back in tonight's political segment. Did you have a chance to watch the what they call the civil forum the other night when Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church sat down and talked with Barack Obama and John McCain? Well, I watched it. I'm in Canada, but I broadcast around the world, and I know my friends in the United States and around the world are very interested in the upcoming United States election. And Pastor Bill Devlin, who's my next guest, is both a senior pastor of the Manhattan Bible Church in Washington Heights. He's also a radio guy at the big 50,000-watt Philadelphia CBS radio station, WPHT, 1210, The Big Talker. I love saying that. And he was a big part of the civil forum, and I thought I'd bring him on tonight to talk about this. How important is faith in the upcoming election? I thought that the civil forum turned a lot of corners, and I'll explain what that means in a little bit. Pastor Bill, welcome to the Dana Pretzer Show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on with you and all of your wonderful listeners. Thank you very much, and it's good to talk about the civil forum and what actually went on there in Southern California.
You know, of course, you're going to have the skeptics. You're going to have the people that come out and say that Rick Warren was siding more with John McCain and vice versa. And this whole crazy cone of silence thing that came out that I thought was cute kind of reminded me of Get Smart and the cone of silence. And I don't think there was anything meant by it. But your thoughts on the civil forum and just how important was it to this whole campaign?
Well, it was very important until today. John McCain could not tell the American people how many houses he actually owned.
Yeah.
That was kind of a bust.
Yeah.
But no question that after Saturday night, there was a huge bump in the polls for Senator McCain. And, you know, this was really McCain's forum to lose because many people, well, my Lord, John McCain inside a evangelical, Jesus-loving church. I mean, you know, it's kind of like asking Paris Hilton about her faith in religion. John McCain, much we've been told, is not comfortable with his faith. But, however, whether or not there was a cone of silence or whatever there was, there's no question that John McCain got a A+, and Senator Obama got a C-. And I say that as a nonpartisan, non-issue-driven political analyst. In the faith community. I've been doing it for about 20 years. And I just got to say that both on appearance, on substance, and on content, John McCain really walked away with the debate. He looked like a decisive leader. And Senator Obama kind of came across as, you know, a grandmother, a marriage counselor, whatever. He didn't come across as a very decisive leader. And so that's why over the last 5 days since Saturday night, you're seeing a bump in the polls favoring John McCain.
You know, faith is, what's the old saying, faith is in the eye of the beholder or something like that. And I think it's really important, and maybe this is an example of experience versus non-experience, to come to a group of people to discuss faith and be able to sell yourself, I guess, and I'm not trying to be flip or facetious here, to the electorate, and they call the faith vote, and I'm going to ask you just what that means in a minute, to the adults that are in the audience to say, this is me, this is what I'm about, and just what does that term faith vote mean?
Well, yeah, and that's the question of the author, and I think what these folk, whether they were at Saddleback Church or whether they were home watching CNN or MSNBC, I think the question is, when we go to elect the President of the United States, when we go to elect the leader of the free world, we really want to see what drives that individual. We do want to know, as Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church said, we want to see what their world life view is. Coming away from that, we know with McCain. McCain is solidly rooted in a Judeo-Christian ethic world life view. McCain goes to a Baptist church in Phoenix, Arizona, whether he's every Sunday, I don't know. But Senator Obama, who is an acquaintance of mine, I've prayed for him on the campaign trip. And for full disclosure, I am a Democrat and have been a Democrat. But I've got to tell you, people who were seeking
an answer as to what Senator Obama's worldwide view is, they came away empty from that one. They came away very empty. And when they saw Senator McCain answering the questions directly, when life begins, what is marriage, the question of evil, do you defeat it, do you defeat it. So I think, again, that people of faith, they care about the issues of life, of family, of marriage, of the economy, questions related to worldwide view, questions related to evil. That's why McCain did so well. And again, I say that as a lifelong Democrat.
When you look at it, and again, I watched a good portion of it, discussed it with my friends and my audience, and I brought up the term confidence in your faith, being able to instill confidence in something that you believe in. And I thought Barack Obama was not able to instill that confidence. And I'm not saying he doesn't believe, because I truly believe he does, but he wasn't able to bring that out and bring that forward. And am I wrong when I bring that up, that analogy up?
No, it's a past for a while. There's no question that when I get in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, if I get up there as a doubter, if I get up there lacking confidence in my faith, and after a few Sundays, Manhattan Bible Church is going to empty out here in Manhattan. But if you've been there and you're confident about your faith, people see that, you know, as we like to say, you know what you believe and how you believe it. If you know what you believe and why you believe it, then people around you, when they hear you speak, they are going to feel very confident. They're going to feel like you know what you're talking about. And you're not just grasping for straws in the great panoply of faith. And I hit the nail on the head. I think that that's what many people came away, that without a teleprompter, Senator Obama does not do well. With a teleprompter and a prepared speech, he is charismatic. He brings the house down, as he did with 200,000 Germans in Berlin several weeks ago.
Right.
But when you get him on the stump, when it's an impromptu type situation, You know, when you hear Senator Obama, your knees begin to knock together because you're very frightened about what this guy really believes and how he expresses himself. It's very disturbing, and I think that that's why people didn't engender a great deal of confidence in what Senator Obama had to say.
Spending several years in a Vietnamese prisoner of war camp, busted up, tortured, will test your faith, no doubt. That's what we call a no-brainer. How important was that to John McCain and his confidence, again, in being able to show his faith?
Well, as a combat-decorated Vietnam veteran myself, being in harm's way for 2.5 years, I loved the anecdotal stories and the war stories that came out of the Saddleback Civil Forum. I'm a recipient of the Purple Heart and the Combat Action Medal and several other awards. And yeah, when you're in the middle of battle, and even though McCain turned 72 a week from tomorrow, I think people look at him as a seasoned leader. He commanded troops before. His father was an admiral. And I think when asked the question about who are the three people that you admire, and that was one of the early questions in the civil forum at Saddleback Church, Senator Obama, again, and this did not engender confidence in the hearts and minds of people who were watching and listening. Senator Obama, and as much as we all love our grandmothers, Senator Obama said, well, I go to my grandmother. Well, you know, Senator Obama, if you do become the leader of the free world, and you're in a pitched battle with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, I hope you're not going to your grandmother.
Right.
For ideas, you know. And McCain, again, he engendered confidence, just like you talked about earlier. He would go to General David Petraeus, the leader of the Allied troops right now in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are the kind of guys that you want to go to. You want to go to seasoned military officers. And you're not going to go to your grandmother, because your grandmother's never commanded an army of 20,000 men. So it goes back to that whole issue of confidence and who you're going to go to with for advice. And again, you know, the other answer about United States Supreme Court justices, and just tell me when I should stop, because I could go on and on about all the discrepancies in both candidates, but particularly in Senator Obama. When he was asked about, well, I would not have appointed Justice Clarence Thomas to the United States Supreme Court. Well, why not? Well, because he's inexperienced. Hello, Senator Obama. This is exactly what they're saying about you.
Exactly.
Experience. And so, I know that the Obama campaign has criticized the McCain campaign, that somehow McCain had the questions prior to going in and he was not in the cone of silence. Well, so what? When you're the leader of the free world,
yep,
you ought to be able to answer questions like this about what's been going around inside your head for the last 47 years and whether or not you had the questions up front. Hey, I'm 56. When someone asks me about my faith, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, trust me, and yet I know what I believe and why I believe it. And again, I think on content, on substance, Senator McCain did very well. Even on appearance, Senator Obama appeared to be distracted. He appeared to be a little bit aloof. He didn't engage either the audience inside Saddleback Church, nor did he engage the television audience. And, you know, that's how you win an election. That's how you win President of the United States, if you're able to engage people. And so as much as I love Senator Obama, although I'm not going to tell you and your listeners who I'm going to vote for, but as much as I love Senator Obama, and I think it's wonderful that here he is, the first legitimate African-American candidate to run for President of the United States, I think he did very poorly there at the Saddleback Forum.
One last question, Pastor Bill, before I let you go, and I appreciate your time tonight. Ronald Reagan was the great communicator. He was a man of faith, and he, again, was able to instill his faith with confidence. And, yeah, as he aged, he would make the odd comment, somewhat like Senator McCain today, about not knowing how many homes he owned and take advantage of that. John McCain isn't Ronald Reagan, and Barack Obama certainly isn't Ronald Reagan. But what do both candidates need to do to be able to, again, instill the confidence in the public?
Yeah, and again, that's the question of the hour, because that's what American people want. What they want in candidates, and here's the answer to your question, what American people are seeking for in candidates is to have the ability to be decisive, having the ability to have courage, to have integrity, to have a degree of character, so that when the tough times come up, and frankly, you know, as much as I'm not a fan of the current President Bush, you've got to give it to the guy that he was decisive. He made a decision, yep, and he was with it, much like Reagan. That's what the American people are looking for, and I think that is what both candidates are going to have to do now through the first Tuesday in November when we go to the polls. They have to say to the American people whether the people they're speaking to agree with them or not, that this is my decision, this is what I believe, this is in the best interest of the American people, and I will stand by that decision. When Senator Obama was asked about when should a baby get human rights, and he's talking about, well, you know, are you talking theologically, or are you talking scientifically, and that way above my pay grade.
No.
My Lord, that's why we pay you the big bucks to be the President of the United States and the leader of the free world, is to make those hard decisions on when human life begins. So that's really what the American people are seeking, and I hope from now until November that both candidates are able to do that. And along with Chuck Baldwin, who's running on the constitutional ticket, and Bob Barr, who's running on the libertarian ticket.
Well said, sir. Pastor Bill Devlin, thank you.
You're welcome, and people can visit us at redeemthevote.com. That's redeemthevote.com. Take care, God bless, and thank you so much for having us on.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Pastor Bill Devlin of the Manhattan Bible Church, and remember, it's redeemthevote.com. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Dana Pretzer Show with an update from Orlando, Florida, and the Kaylee Anthony case.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back. I promised you an update from Orlando on the Kaylee and Casey Anthony case. Of course, Kaylee Anthony is missing, a young three-year-old, and we've been covering this story for quite some time. What I thought I would do is go to the a couple of the civilian searchers. We had Joe Jordan on the air the other night, and Wyatt Locke are both here to give us an update as far as the case and as far as the search for Kaylee. There is some breaking news on that. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Dana.
Now, I'll start with the case itself. I'm going to kind of recruit you as my on-the-street reporters here. You've seen the news coverage just the same as I have. Casey Anthony was released from jail. We've got bounty hunters and bail people and media spokesmen and the media and the family kind of had the shootout at the Old K Corral today. Cindy Anthony threatened to turn the water hose on them, and we had the reporter allegedly pushing her, or the lawyer allegedly pushing a reporter, or somebody pushed somebody. It's been nuts. Maybe we'll just start with Wyatt. Welcome to the program, sir. Tell us what happened today.
Well, like you said, I know just as much as you do, but I did see the thing with the attorney shoving one of the photographers from one of the media outlets here. And then, of course, they turned over to one of the local reporters in front of the Anthony home awaiting Casey's arrival, where Cindy did threaten to turn the hoses on the media, actually telling her son to do that,
yeah,
and her son telling the reporters to get off the sidewalk located from in front of their home. And then, of course, a piece of maybe not so entertaining, maybe a sick humor,
right,
where a blogger had actually ordered a pizza from Domino's and had it delivered to the Anthony home with a message attached, with love and decomp.
Yeah, that's...
So, kind of a sick humor. I wasn't very impressed by it myself, but apparently there's quite a few people out there who were, that did find it to be humorous. Of course, you know, my whole thing is I would like everyone to stop focusing on Casey and all of them and let them do their, have their three-ring circus and
Amen.
Let them have all their publicity and all that, and let's turn the focus back to this little missing three-year-old girl.
Amen. Joe, welcome back to the program. This story has, three-ring circus is a good explanation, a good definition for it. I can think of a few others. I'm still, believe it or not, riding the fence a little bit on some of this. I do feel sorry for the family somewhat, and I can see their exasperation with the media. I know the media has a job to do, and you know, sadly things are getting heated up, but the focus is on this little girl that's missing. And I understand, Joe, that there's been some communication with your group as far as searching and suggesting that you guys stop searching. Is that wrong? Can you confirm that?
Well, there's no official source that I'm aware of that is asking us to stop. I know there has been some criticism within the some of the major media outlets and some of the public in some of those forums and blogs or whatever. But you know, the one thing that I do have to say to the Anthony family is we're not looking to find evidence on their daughter or anything of that matter. We're really out there to obviously find some clues into possibly the disappearance. I mean, we're not looking to find her other than alive. If we do find something that ends up that way, then you know, we're doing what we're doing out there. I mean, we're posting flyers too. We're visiting different places. We're getting the word out. That's all we're doing, and that's what the Anthony family has asked of us. A source kind of close to the family has told me that they feel that we're a threat, and I'm a little disappointed in that, because We don't want to be a threat to the family. We just truly want to find Kaylee Anthony alive.
Wyatt, can you speak about that a little further as far as a source close to the family or the family themselves? Have they contacted you or your members in any way to basically tell you to stop? And if so, why?
Not that I'm aware of, to have anybody that, you know, directly had any contact with the Anthony family. We did receive a piece of advice from a friend of ours in the group that said, you know, we might want to use some caution as the fact that Casey has been released, and if she does have any connection to the disappearance of her daughter, and she is aware of who we are and that we're looking for her daughter or any evidence to lead to the recovery of her daughter, that they may send some people out to interfere with us. Of course, there's nothing, no credible threats against us or anything like that, or we've not received any email threatening us. And as far as I know, nobody on our team has had any direct contact with the Anthony family. We have sent emails to the family to offer our services in terms of working in their call center, working in their station that they have located at a grocery store here in the Orlando area, but to no avail. We never received any responses. In the same sense, we also, a couple of our team members had tried to contact the psychic team that came down here to offer our assistance to them, in which we received no reply from them. However, it was announced over the past couple of days that apparently they were in contact with us the entire time. And
you just didn't know it.
Not true.
You have to be psychic in order to know that they were contacting us.
Joe, when you were on the air the other night, you had talked about, in fact, we gave out the Orange County Sheriff Department telephone number with the basis of our conversation that the Orange County Sheriff's Department were wanting to work with your group of volunteers to try and organize another search working with the Sheriff's Department. What's the status of that?
I believe that Wyatt is still awaiting some information from the detectives in the case in order to get us an official, to offer an official assistance to the team. They haven't. I'd say we spoke to one of the sergeants that was that collected some evidence, and they made it very clear that they didn't want to discourage our searching, and they were pretty clear on the fact that they do want people out there. They just want to know about us being out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the comments about the media and things like that, I'd just like to add something to that. Honestly, if my child was missing, any one of my children were missing, I would want the media banging down my door.
Yep.
to put that child's face on the television, on the radio, no matter what. Honestly, as long as my child's face stayed on that television or on that radio, I would be happy, and I would endure any type of stress to make sure that nationwide people knew about the disappearance of my child. To clear up any kind of confusion, I would have open press releases with my attorney or whatever to make sure I clear up any confusion on whether I was involved or not. I would be speaking in that aspect, and that's just my personal opinion. But again, that's my opinion. That's not the entire group's opinion. So again, as a group, we just want to find Kaylee Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. Wyatt, what's next? Watching cable news the other afternoon, I had to raise my eyebrow when one of the cable news hosts was asked very point blankly, do you think that there's a search going on for Kaylee Anthony? And she responded, no, the only search that she thought that was happening was her producer on the ground in Orlando. And I actually sent her an email saying, there is other searches going on, although you know, maybe not as huge as they should be, but there are other people that are caring and concerned enough to go out and search. And then lo and behold, I see Joe on that particular program that evening, which I thought was great. But what's next, and what is your thoughts about how the media is covering this case?
Well, as of what's next, right now we're kind of in limbo. The other organizer and myself are trying to get everything reorganized. Of course, we've been put basically to a complete standstill due to this tropical storm and this nasty weather.
Right.
I think today has been the worst day out of it all, though. But we're kind of at a standstill. We're trying to regroup and reorganize, and we're trying to determine what our next step is going to be. The area which the items were discovered over the past weekend, I think we've pretty much covered that entire area, and I don't think we're going to turn up anything else in that area, whether or not that was related to the case or not.
Right.
I think we've pretty much covered that area, so we're trying to look at other leads and other information that we're able to obtain from the media, of course. As for how the media is covering it, I have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, the entire country is just absolutely amazed by how this story has panned out. And I think everyone's on the edge of their seat waiting to find out what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I do think that, you know, the family, you know, they kind of turn their back on the media. And I think maybe the media is being a little aggressive with the family. But in the same sense, you know, like Joe said earlier, if you had a missing child, you know, you would want the media there 24 hours a day covering every single aspect to make sure that everyone remembers that this girl is still missing. Remember, this little girl, Kaylee, is out there somewhere, and we need to find her. And I think that, you know, I have a lot of people that I've talked to in the local media. They've actually done interviews with our group, and they've actually been really helpful in giving us some tips before they've gone on the air and broke on the news, you know, for us to check out. And they've also let us know what tips are going to be, you know, that have been leaked to the media that are false, so not to get our hopes up to go to that area. I think the media, bottom line, is pretty much doing a good job for the most part. I think there are some people that are being a little extreme with it and taking it, I mean, way too far. I mean, I don't really care that, you know, Cindy's going to the hair salon or getting her nails done.
Exactly.
I mean, that's beyond what anyone really cares about. We really care about what they're doing to find this little girl,
yep.
What efforts they're making. And unfortunately, you know, the media is with them 24 hours a day, but we're not hearing about a whole lot of stuff going on from the Anthony family to look for this little girl, except for a billboard being driven around. And, you know, which is, I guess it would help if nobody really knew what little Kaylee looked like, but I think the whole nation knows what she looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the answers are there. They're just with Kaylee Anthony, and she needs to be found. Joe Jordan, Wyatt Locke, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right, I'm going to try one thing. A reporter, Lewis Bolden, with WKMG Local 6 in Orlando, and I have been talking a little bit this evening, but the weather is so bad down there, it's so hard to get a decent cell signal. I'm going to take a quick break and see if I can get him for the finish of the show. I can't promise, but we'll be back in a minute here on the Dana Pritzer Show. Okay, we're back. Again, I apologize. I tried to get Lewis Bolden, a reporter with WKMG, on the air, but he either has the worst cell phone on earth or the weather is just so bad down there that he can't get a decent signal. That's, you know, even the Can You Hear Me Now guy from Verizon, I don't think would be able to help. Our conversation was like this. Hi, Lewis. And he's up. You know, I don't think we can do an interview like that. So we'll certainly stay on top of the Kaylee Anthony story, and hopefully some answers will be found. With the Three Ring Circus does continue. You know, the reporters give the Anthony some space. Police officers keep working on this case, and reporters, if you have a lead, double check it. Verify before you report it. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Of course, our webpage is at www.scaredmonkeysradio.com, and I hope to see you again real soon and next time here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.